141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic miss out on Kelechi Iheanacho as the striker turns down their offer in favour of a move to Turkey. Alexander Shvalov is set to leave Hearts with a new goalkeeper coming in, and Viljami Sinisalo says he intends to keep Celtic's number one jersey. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Hugh Keevans.
The captain of Partizan Belgrade is in Glasgow tonight to sign for Rangers in a £4.6 million deal. He will be Rangers' seventh signing of the summertime transfer window. Celtic can't do a deal with a 29-year-old free agent who'd rather go to the Turkish second division than sign for them. There must be alarm among the Celtic fans at the progress of this transfer window. If they are not alarmed, I would love to hear from them, because tomorrow, the scale of the disaffection where the Celtic board is concerned will be measured in the size of the crowd for the friendly against Middlesbrough. There may be a chance there'll be more Middlesbrough fans at Celtic Park than Celtic supporters.
We had a very busy night on the phones last night with that Elliot Watt 4 match ban. I have a feeling, based on that Kelechi Iheanacho move, the response I've seen on social media, might be in for another busy night on the phones, Hugh.
Well, I repeat, if you're not alarmed by this and you're a Celtic supporter, tell me why you're not alarmed, because I think the vast majority of the Celtic supporters regard that this summer's business as an absolute mess. And it will get worse, because Engels will go, Maeda will go, Hatate will go, and Celtic's squad will be threadbare.
0141 951 1025. Let us know what you think, Celtic fans. Are you alarmed at the fact that Kelechi Iheanacho is now not coming back to Celtic? He's moving to Bursaspor, a team in the second division in Turkey, instead. Of course, that's on the backdrop of the fact that Celtic had a clause in his contract that they could have extended it by another year. They let that expire. It allowed other teams to compete for him, and they now have been beaten to his signature. Is that a concern for you, Celtic fans? Are there maybe some that are more relaxed about the transfer window than others? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. Some goalkeeping stories out there. Hearts goalkeeper Alexander Shvalov, who played a big part for them last season, he's set to move to the Bundesliga. Hearts bringing in a new goalkeeper in his place. Viljami Sinisalo has been speaking today. He said he's keen to keep on to Celtic's number one jersey, with speculation that Celtic may bring in a new goalkeeper. Rangers had a friendly last night, a couple of goals for Tochi Chukwuanyi, so maybe you want to talk about that, Rangers fans. 0141 951 1025. Of course, some Premier Sports Cup action tomorrow as well to look forward to. But let's go straight to the phones, shall we? Howard is a Celtic fan in the Gorbals. How are you, Howard?
Well, put it this way, my ears are ringing because the alarm bells are going off at 100 miles an hour. Let's go back to the debacle of last season. And at the end of it, we managed to get some unity. The board said they wouldn't let it happen again. Now, I'm 61. I have never in my life heard such nonsense as Nicholson coming out with, oh, it's agents, oh, it's championship clubs. What it is the usual. Celtic do not want to spend the money. And like any other business, you look at your competitors and you just look over the other end of the city. You see Rangers doing business, no problem, bringing players in and basically saying, we're after this league title, and again, we're stuttering. I thought it couldn't get any worse for you than last year.
Well, it'll be the same this year, Howard, because that Champions League qualifying round's coming up, and Celtic have one signing in Camilo Duran. Michael Nicholson's response is always the same. It wasn't me, a big boy did it and ran away. But he is out of his depth in terms of Celtic's recruitment. And Celtic are out of date as a football club. They have no recruitment department. They have no strategy that anyone can see with regard to the signing of new players. And the accident is just waiting to happen. Whoever Celtic get in the Champions League qualifying round, they are, at the moment, seriously under strength.
Howard, you talked about those comments from Michael Nicholson. They came out, it was minutes from a meeting with the Association of Irish Celtic Supporters Clubs, and he said specifically in that that he advised that the easy signings are the players who are out of contract, and these are the ones that are being worked on immediately. Does that make it more frustrating that Kelechi Iheanacho falls perfectly into that category, and maybe the fact that Celtic shouldn't even really have been competing with other teams for his signature? Because when you go back to Celtic's initial announcement a year ago when they signed him, it said that he had signed a 1-year deal with the club having the option of a further year.
All I can say, I've got 2 points, and the first one is Celtic should have no problem signing players, whether it's players in contract or players that are out of contract. It's all about spending the money. Now, Hugh, I want to ask you the million-dollar question. Yeah. Not all, but there is certain Celtic supporters that believe that Martin O'Neill is a board puppet.
I would not
hear your comments.
I would not be so disrespectful as to regard the man as anybody's puppet, but I don't think he's strong enough when it comes to the board and the owner, Dermot Desmond. Martin O'Neill saved Celtic from disaster last season by coming back twice and winning the title after the Wilfred Nancy fiasco. And, you know, you talk about transfers. This Celtic board believed that Wilfred Nancy was the answer to their managerial problems. They got rid of Brendan Rodgers, a manager who had brought Celtic untold success, and replaced them with an absolute rookie who was hopelessly miscast, lasted 33 days, and they got him out before disaster followed. So I would not disrespect Martin O'Neill by saying that he was anybody's puppet, but I would say he is not standing up to Dermot Desmond and to the members of the Celtic board. He is, like the Celtic supporters, being taken advantage of.
Martin O'Neill was asked a few days ago, Howard, whether he had sought assurances from Dermot Desmond about, you know, transfer policy and spending and how many players they were going to sign going into this window. And he said that no, he hadn't sought any assurances. And he said the reason for that is, the quote is, maybe it's the fact that I know the owner of the football club for some time and I genuinely believe that he will come up and help when trying to get things over the line. Let me put it that way. I'm guessing you don't feel the same, you don't have that same faith that Martin O'Neill has.
I was shocked at that. To me, the first thing after last year, Martin O'Neill would be saying to Dermot Desmond is, I need money. Now, I don't know if Celtic are waiting for Maeda money, Engels money before they spend. But at the end of the day, Hugh, as usual, I've been a fan of Hugh's for a long time, is spot on. There's a Champions League qualifier, and it's the same smell, that bad smell that we got last year. It's happening all over again.
The month of August, Howard, will be like the January transfer window. Loanees will come in a desperate act to kid on the Celtic fans that something's been done about the upcoming Champions League qualifier. We know what happened with the loanees in January. By the time Martin O'Neill got to May, he couldn't put any of them in the team or even on the bench because they were so bad. But if Celtic follow the usual pattern now, July will pass with no signings, and then in August there'll be loanees from clubs you've never heard of, and Martin O'Neill will be left to get on with it.
Well, thank you to Howard. What about Alec, who's a Celtic fan in Parkhead? Alec, do you share the views of Howard?
Hi, how are you doing, panel? How are you doing, Hugh? I've not been on the show for a few years.
Oh, good man.
Regards to the Martin O'Neill, I mean, the guy was a wee bit harsh. I couldn't believe it when Martin O'Neill says that he didn't seek assurances. We all seen what happened to Brendan Rodgers. Now, I'm going to go into when Reid, Fergus McCann and Brian Dempsey, they went about and bought up all the shares. We can't do that this time, right? That's not on the table.
Yeah.
Now, last season, we had walkouts. Now, we're not even started this season yet. Now, I'm a season book holder, and I'm not going to the game anymore because I'm not wanting to give them another penny, and that's going to hurt me, right? I'm going to be choking to go, but I can't go. Mark, the board think they're invincible. Dermot Desmond thinks that he's invincible. We might not be able to buy up the shares, right? But if all the season book holders have paid more money, right? The club have got the money. Now, when next season comes, if we start this season with low knees, is what you're saying, Hugh, and you're never far away, right? I guarantee you, we might not be able to buy up shares, but see after 5 minutes, me personally, if it was me, we would walk out, stand outside, right, aye, right, okay, what's that going to do? But if you've got Sky Sports at an Old Firm game, Celtic against Rangers, and that stadium empties within 5 minutes, and then you kick on, we're playing Hearts, and then we're playing Motherwell, all of a sudden, Dermot Desmond's stockholding, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be negative. It's the only way that we can hurt the guy.
Yeah, in 1994, before Fergus took over the club, Celtic played their final match under the old board in front of 10,000 people at Celtic Park. They were playing Kilmarnock. And then Fergus came in and recreated Celtic. The problem that you have now, Alec, is that Dermot Desmond has allies who will take his 34% shareholding in the club to 51% at any given time, therefore making him invincible.
You also just need to look at the AGM last season, which obviously had to be stopped because there were, you know, protests going on and it got quite rowdy. But then when it actually came to the voting of the shareholders, I think it was, you know, 99%+ to reinstate all the key members of the Celtic board. So it just shows you where that swing is.
But where Alec is correct is that the Celtic fans only have the power of their absence, if I can put it that way. If they don't go and they don't buy, then it creates a problem.
Because there was a real unity towards the end of last season between the supporters and between the team, and that had been something that Martin O'Neill had been very clear about. He wanted everyone on side. He wanted there to be that unity because he said that he feels Celtic are at their very best when everyone is pulling in the same direction, which the Celtic fans got on board with because they realised that it was such a crucial time that it maybe could have been the thing that pushed them over the line. Celtic ended up winning a double, but you did then feel that it wouldn't take much for that dial to turn back. Yeah.
The only thing I can say, Andrew, that the winning of the double was thrilling for every Celtic supporter, galling for every Hearts supporter and Rangers supporter for that matter. Celtic then had an obligation to admit that they had been very fortunate that Martin O'Neill got them over the line. It was an unexpected league and cup double. Their obligation was to go and strengthen that squad so that it didn't happen again, that Celtic went into the new season with quality signings. One signing from Azerbaijan can't even get Iheanacho to renew his contract. And in the 5 weeks of the transfer window, they have been an utter shambles and they have no direction in mind, and it will go on in this way until the low knees start to come in.
Alec, does this feel like quite a significant moment for you? You said you've not phoned the show in a good few years, and this is the thing that's made you phone in. And no matter how Celtic fans felt about Kelechi Iheanacho, whether they wanted him back at the club or not next season, Martin O'Neill had made it clear that he wanted him back at the club, and Celtic haven't managed it.
Obviously, I phoned the show for about 15 years. So I had, and then I always listened to the show, but I just said, I'll take a wee step back now. But even last season I wanted to phone. But regards to Iheanacho, the guy was there. The guy was in the door.
Yep.
We just had to offer him the contract. Regards to, we've got a Champions League qualifier now.
I was just going to say, I actually don't even think Celtic needed to offer him a contract. It just seemed as if they needed to trigger a deal that extended it. And look, it may be a case that Bursaspor have come in and blown Celtic out the water and there's no way they could compete with them right now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that Celtic did have that option that they seemed to let expire.
Iheanacho has simply highlighted the problem. The news tonight that he has decided to go to Turkish second division rather than go back to Celtic. But the problem is, to repeat a Teresing song, when it comes to the Celtic board, they don't know what they're doing.
Sorry, Alec, on you go.
Obviously, we're waiting on Celtic as a day, wait to see if we can get through the Champions League, right? We never spent any money, really, last year.
Yeah.
The money's there. We can sell Maeda. because he's going to go, right? And good luck to the guy. He's done amazing, isn't he? And we're going to probably sell Engels. And say we get 40 million for the two boys. Will Martin O'Neill get 40 million on a rebuild? Chris Sutton says that we needed about 50 million. Will Martin O'Neill get 40 million? I know the answer to that. I know the answer.
When Dermot Desmond brought Martin O'Neill to the club, he brought him at a time when Ronnie Dyla had performed in such a mediocre fashion that Celtic had closed the top tier of the ground. We might be coming back to that tomorrow when Celtic play Middlesbrough. Dermot Desmond bankrolled Martin O'Neill in 2000. It brought in the £6 million Neil Lennon, the £6 million Chris Sutton, the £6 million John Hartson, and so on and so forth. I do not understand how Dermot Desmond can look at the current situation at Celtic Park and declare himself satisfied with that. How on earth would that be possible?
Well, thank you to Alec. What about Peter and Shawlands? What are you making of it all, Peter?
Hi there. Listen, I'm a great lover of the show, and thanks for that, Hugh Keevans. You've actually done everything that I was wanting to say. But I'm going to ask, I'm 74 years of age. I've been following Celtic since my dad took me when I was 6 years old, 7 years old. But this time, this is a joke. The guy, this Michael Nicholson guy, and Derek Desmond, whatever the guy's called, and his boy, these people have got, they're charlatans. They're no Celtic, man. I'm a Celtic man through and through. Pure Glasgow, pure Tim. And this, I'll no swear, obviously, but I'll tell you something. Every Celtic supporter, we cannot believe that this club is getting that. Hugh Keevans has done everything there and said everything that I wanted to. Well, I didn't want to say. He's more clever than me. Although,
not at all.
I fell out with him a few times myself, actually, over the years.
You see, Peter, I would not criticise anyone on a personal level. You know, I object to someone calling Martin O'Neill a puppet. I object to, you know, the suggestion that Dermot Desmond isn't a Celtic man. Dermot Desmond, since 1994, has put £30 million into Celtic. To my understanding, he's taken £7.5 million in dividends, but he's put money into Celtic. And I have no doubt that Michael Nicholson is a Celtic supporter. It's just, they're not good at what they do. And this transfer window has highlighted a business that is not up to date. You know, they have no strategy. They have no modern-day vision. They have no modern-day infrastructure at the club. And now they're making themselves look a laughingstock compared to their biggest rivals at Ibrox.
Because Celtic may go on to make signings, Celtic may go on to win multiple trophies again next season, but there still will be a gripe with a lot of Celtic supporters that they just don't seem to be building from the position of strength they built into it at the end of the season, that it has just all been, everything has been quite delayed this summer. So even if, you know, Celtic go on to continue their dominance and win all the trophies, there's probably a what if from Celtic supporters that if they just, you know, put the foot to the floor and really built on that, where could Celtic be in terms of competing in Europe and that kind of thing.
When Callum Osmond scored the third goal against Hearts last May and the title was won in the most dramatic fashion imaginable, Celtic could have announced that night that season tickets were going up in price by 100% and they would still have sold out instantly. But now, those who have bought the season tickets for next season are already saying, before the season begins, this is not good enough. This is not what I bought into. And that's a dangerous way to be.
Well, thank you to Peter. 0141 951 1025. I'm sure there are still plenty of opinions out there on that. Maybe there's something else you want to talk about. You can give us a call too, and you can give us a call to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It was a thrilling defeat for Hugh Keevans last Friday. I think 6-5 in normal time. The caller got the chance to go for the 10, ended up finishing with 7. It's one of the best scores we've ever had from a caller. You'll be hoping for a bit of an easier challenge tonight, Hugh.
I want someone who's been out in the sun all day, preferably in a beer garden.
It might be out in the sun right now, just listening to the show. Who knows? Maybe you fit that bill. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, busy time of it on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the news that Kelechi Iheanacho has turned down a return to Celtic in favour of going to Bursaspor in Turkey. So we'll take plenty more calls on that between now and 7 o'clock, but we've always got time to play Beat the Pundit. It's going to be David in Dumbarton up against Hugh Keevans. David, have you played before?
I have not.
Why is tonight the night that you've decided to go for it?
Yeah, for a person sitting in the sun all day, so I thought I'd try.
I can't believe that you put out a plea of the exact type of Beat the Pundit caller you wanted, and David's done it for you. So now you've got no excuses, Hugh.
See, he's from Dumbarton. He's living there in the Riviera of the west of Scotland, so he's good for him.
Been enjoying the sun, David?
Oh, it's cooking. It's been lovely.
Brilliant. Let's see if it's helping is Beat the Pundit knowledge, or whether it's going to be a hindrance. We will put something else in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he cannot hear us. And for you, David, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
That sounds good.
Let's go for it. What nationality is Rangers target Vanya Dragojevic?
Serbian.
Kelechi Iheanacho won the FA Cup with which English side?
Leicester.
Lionel Messi has captained Argentina to how many World Cup finals?
3.
Who is Aberdeen chairman?
Pass.
In what year did the Scottish League Cup group stage return?
2018.
Goalkeeper Alexander Shvolov is leaving Hearts for which German team?
Pass.
Okay, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in. I don't think he can hear us yet. And now he can. Yes. Hugh is back in the room with us, and it is going to be 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do it. What nationality is Rangers target Vanya Dragojevic?
He's from Belgrade.
Kelechi Iheanacho won the FA Cup with which English club?
Leicester.
Lionel Messi has captained Argentina to how many World Cup finals?
3.
Who is Aberdeen chairman?
Pass.
In what year did the Scottish League Cup group stage return?
2020.
Goalkeeper Alexander Shvolov is leaving Hearts for which German team? I'm going to time you out. 3, two,
Mainz.
1. Right, how do you think that went, David?
Thank you. I thought it went bad when I finished, but I think it's been all right.
That's basically David saying he didn't have much hope, and then he heard you, Hugh.
Yeah,
but we'll see how it went. What nationality is Rangers target Vanya Dragojevic? David went for Serbian, which is correct. You didn't get Serbian out. You just said Belgrade.
Yeah.
You got the city, but not the nationality. So it goes 1-0 to David. Kelechi Iheanacho won the FA Cup with which English side? A nice easy one there is, of course, Leicester City. So 2-1 to David. Lionel Messi has captained Argentina to how many World Cup finals? 2014, 2022, and now 2026. So it's 3. You both get it. 3-2. To David, who is the Aberdeen chairman? You hummed and hawed here. You're going to kick yourself when I tell you that it's Dave Cormack.
I know.
David didn't get it either, so remains one up. In what year did the Scottish League Cup group stage return? 2016 is the answer. Neither of you got it. Remains one up to David. Goalkeeper Alexander Shvolov is leaving Hearts for which German side? David didn't get it. You just about got there in the nick of time. You said Mainz. I was about to time you out, but you got it. 3-3. We're going to a tiebreaker.
Ooh.
So what I'm going to do, David, is I'm going to read out the question and I'm going to get Hugh to write down his answer. You hang fire, and once Hugh has written his down, I'll tell you, and then you can say yours out loud. Is that all good?
Yep, that sounds good.
The question is, how many goals were scored in last season's Scottish League Cup? How many goals were scored in last season's Scottish League Cup?
The entire competition.
In its entirety. So we'll hold on for a second, David, just so that Hugh can write down his answer, which he has done. So your turn.
106.
You have gone for 106. Hugh Keevans has gone for 215. The answer is 316. Ooh. It's a win for Hugh Keevans. Unlucky, David.
That's all right. That was a good game.
That's all right.
It was, David, yeah.
You know what? David was close. Maybe if he phones in on a rainy day where he's not been sitting out in the sun all day, he might pip you on a tiebreaker. Who knows?
David did well.
Yes, not a bad effort. Well done to Hugh Keevans. Thank you to David. Let's go back to the phones. Malcolm is a Celtic fan up next. Malcolm, what are you making of this Kelechi Iheanacho business?
Good evening for a start. You're changing my thought there. Hugh, I said to the producer, I need to get on that competition. I think I could beat you not head-to-head there.
Oh, no doubt you could, Malcolm.
They all say it, Malcolm, until the pressure's on and you're live on air.
So I said to your producer, you need to get me on for that the next day. Right, my point is, I've said it before, pre-season cup, Rangers have won 7-1, and I force you butts in. Let me finish my point, please. Historically, and I'm going back 21 years here, at this stage of the window, Celtic have only taken in one person until August. They've did it once, they've had two people in signings by the end of July. So please, look back. And do I want Mayer in? Yes, absolutely. We've got a major rebuild on. But Hugh's trying to sell papers on. And this is about the absolute downgrading of the 7-1 pre-season cup that the Rangers are now winning. Again, laughing stock. But he should be reporting on is Rangers spent £49 million last season to finish that. I don't see that being said. Nobody's reporting on that.
I think people did say it was a failure, though, that Rangers finished third and spending all that money.
Malcolm is the exception to the rule. There's always one who will be defiant. But it was this kind of summertime dithering that cost Celtic the Champions League last year. And they are on course to cost themselves the Champions League this year. And, you know, the Rangers and their 40-odd million last season, and they finished third, 10 points behind Celtic. That's why Danny Rowe's no longer the manager there and Derek McInnes is in.
Well, it's not really the reason, is it? Because he got backed until another team came in for him. I think if there was no other interest in Danny Rowe, then he would have been the Rangers manager going into this season. He was backed by Andrew Kavanagh 5 weeks before RB Salzburg came in for him.
I think Rangers were delighted to see the back of him and get compensation as well. The argument here, or the discussion or debate here, is the summertime transfer window. Celtic won the league and Martin O'Neill is to be praised for that. But here we go again with Celtic. Celtic want to be thought of and have said that they are world class in what they do. No, they're not. And they are in danger of going out of the Champions League yet again because of a total failure to understand the transfer market and how it works. And when Ross Desmond spoke at the shareholders' AGM, he promised that Celtic would be updated in every way in terms of analytics and how they went about the business of recruitment. Nothing has been done. It's still a haphazard operation where they can't even get a 29-year-old who'd rather go to the Turkish second division. So, Malcolm, if I want to sell papers, I'll write it in the paper. I'm on a radio programme here, trying to make a forthright point on the radio. And my forthright point is that Celtic aren't very good at what they do in transfer windows.
Can two things be true at the same time, Malcolm? Can Celtic be the dominant force in Scottish football and winning trophies, but fans can also be concerned or worried that maybe the signing strategy and what's going on in transfer windows isn't as good as it should be?
No, I would think every Celtic fan at this stage of the window would want more. But history tells you, you can't buy a player in July. Rangers buy players in July. They had I can't believe how much loan signings and deals they had done at the end of the season. Hugh was reporting and how good the Rangers were going to be in last season. I honestly believe that Rangers have downgraded 2.5 Hearts at the moment, who finished second by getting Derek McInnes in. They're turning in the Hearts.
Malcolm, does it need to be about Rangers and does it need to be about Hearts? Can it not just be about what Celtic are doing and what the Celtic squad looks like? And on top of that, you know, the not getting into the Champions League group stages was a big thing last summer. Celtic didn't get the bodies in the door, ended up losing to Qaira Almaty, a team that they definitely should have been beating. So instead of it being a sort of, you know, comparing Celtic's business to what Rangers are doing, what Hearts are doing, should Celtic maybe not just be looking internally and it's more about making sure that they're getting the signings in before the Champions League qualifiers?
Andrew, you make your whole programme and Hugh makes it's made a living about making it about Celtic and Rangers. So why are we changing it tonight? He's absolutely slated in the arch for not lasting more than 15 to 20 minutes. And now he's marking an issue about him going to second league Turkey team.
But it's not just you, Malcolm. We've had several callers on already tonight that aren't happy about it. So do their opinions not hold any weight?
I'm using Ian Acho as an example of how the Celtic board contrive to go about their business in a cack-handed fashion, to use an old-fashioned expression. He was theirs. They had a clause in the contract which would have kept him at the club. They allowed that contract to expire and then tried to do business with him, by which time others were in. How often he can stay on the park is neither here nor there. He scored some of the most significant goals of last season for Celtic. The question is, how can you possibly contrive to make a mess of that one as well by letting the original deal expire and Ian Acho then becomes able to go to other clubs?
Thank you to Malcolm. What about Ian, who's a Celtic fan in Aberdeen? Do you agree, disagree with Malcolm?
A lot of points I disagree. First of all, I'd like to say good evening, gentlemen, and can I speak to Hugh Keevans, please?
He is listening.
How you doing, Hugh?
Good, Ian, thank you.
I'll start by saying, I don't know if you remember me, but I came on your show and I talked to you quite a lot last season. I came on the show and I told you I stopped my Paradise windfall. I stopped my Celtic pools because I'm absolutely sick of the way our club's run. Well, today, after 12 years, I've stopped my Celtic TV for renewing. I've stopped putting every penny I can into that club, right? And since last year's AGM, I haven't set foot inside Celtic Park. They are turning, the way that board are carrying on, they are turning fans away every day, every minute of the day, with their nonsense behaviour. Now, Michael Nickerson said just recently in the last couple of days, his excuse was for no having more signings in the door was, it's difficult to deal with agents and all that's nonsense. Yet, every other club in Scotland, even Aberdeen, has signed 11 players. Why does all these other clubs no have a problem signing players and it's only Celtic?
Yeah, I thought that the particular reference that Michael made to agents was naive in the extreme. Every football club in every country in the world has to deal with agents. If you're using agents as the reason why you can't bring in players, then you're trying to insult the intelligence of the people who support your club. They seem to have no difficulty dealing with agents when they bring in the loanees like Junior Adamu and all the other ones, and Balakwisha at £5 million, who was quickly found to be unworthy of a Celtic jersey. So that statement was naive in the extreme and only further annoys people like you, Ian.
Ian, I suppose there's supporters of other clubs that from the outside looking in would say Celtic have won 14 of the last 15 league titles, are the dominant team in Scottish football, win most of the trophies. Is that not good enough for you? Does it run a bit deeper than that? Is it more about, you know, the running of the club, and the club should be striving, you know, for more ambition rather than just it being about the number of trophies won?
Well, I can understand fans of other clubs saying that we've won a lot over the years, which we have. But me as a paying customer, me it pays £800 for my season ticket. It doesn't even go to the games anymore because we're not happy the way our club is run. And to think that Michael Nickerson will be there for another year, it beggars belief. The sight of him, or the sight of him no saying a single word, turns my stomach upside down. We need change at our club, and if it means for the likes of me to stop going, to cut off every penny going into the club we can to force change, then what I would say is, then so be it.
Thank you to Ian. Strong words from him there. Do you agree, disagree with what you're hearing? 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Get your calls in while I tell you this. Grade one. Congratulations to our latest winner, Shane, who's just bagged £777,000 on Make Me A Winner. And we're going again this Friday with another chance to win big. And this Thursday, thanks to Tesco Club Card, even more people could be in with a chance of winning. If you enter Make Me A Winner between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock on Thursday, you could be taking home one of our Club Card reward prizes. We're giving 5 additional winners a £1,000 gift card to spend on travel, dining or family fun, plus another £1,000 gift card to spend at Tesco. Keep on listening to find out more, and you can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The phone lines are very busy, so if you want to make your point before 7 o'clock to Hugh Keevans, get your call in right now. 0141 951 1025. There's only really been one talking point so far, and that is the fact that Kelechi Iheanacho has turned down the chance to return to Celtic. He's gone to Bursaspor in Turkey instead. It sparked a big debate about Celtic's recruitment and what that looks like this summer and going forward. Stevie is a Celtic fan in Craig End. What side of the debate do you lie on, Stevie?
Well, first of all, I have to produce a Farine's number. I'll take his season book if he doesn't want it, mate. You know what I mean? So... But no, he's entitled to his opinion, guys. But as I say, it's for every one person that's unhappy, there's guys out there that are dying to they watch the team and stuff like that. Alexander Martin and Neil, I mean, they've done the double, everybody trusts him, and we can guarantee he's working day and night, you know what I mean, to get bodies, in for ready for Champions League, ready for the league, and things like that. So we know it's not going to be done like early doors. I mean, as Shu said earlier on, agents, they'll be trying to get the best deal for their client. So they will. I mean, wherever that is.
Is that not just the same for every club, though, Stevie?
It is, but I'm just saying, I'm just using Celtic as an example, Andrew, Shu was saying earlier on about, the agents, they brought in all these guys, obviously, on loan and that, but we trusted Martin O'Neill to get us there the line, and won us the league, which he did day, but we got the double.
Yeah, but Stevie, the people who were brought in were, to a man, hopeless. And Martin O'Neill, in the January window, was left with a handful of players he could not put in the team, could not put on the bench, because they were hopeless. And Celtic have a window that's been open for 5 weeks now, Stevie. They've signed one player. If people are working night and day, why have they got one player in 5 weeks?
Stevie, I know you said, Martin O'Neill is working day and night to try and get signings in, but would there be a concern that, as much work as Martin O'Neill does in terms of, helping identify players and signalling the ones that he wants to bring in, Kelechi Iheanacho was a player that he wanted to bring in and the board were unable to deliver on that. I think in that the minutes of that meeting with the Irish Supporters Club, Martin O'Neill said something along the lines of, he had put players to the Celtic board, ones that had been identified, and it turned out that they were difficult to attract to Glasgow. So is that a bit more than Martin O'Neill, working day and night? It needs to be the full club running in tandem and getting the deals over the line.
But again, you look at it and sit and say, then every Celtic fan, myself included, guys, obviously all this money in the bank and stuff like that, but when you look at it, and sit and say, Martin O'Neill knows the players that he wants to bring in. Tuesday's confirmed there. These guys were hopeless and he managed to win a title. he managed to win a cup. So I'm 100% in agreement with you, which I find myself strange saying sometimes. But it's something that we sit and say that there was a World Cup on, guys. You know what I mean? So maybe there was players that he was looking at, and then...
Stevie, if you think Celtic are going to sign anyone who's at the World Cup, then you haven't been paying attention. Celtic are dedicated to the business of buying low, selling big. That's the Celtic model, and it's made them a fortune.
But even at that, I think they spent somewhere between 5 and 6 million on Camilo Duran. That's a type of fee that could get you a player that was at a World Cup. Not all the players at the World Cup are going for fees that are out with the reach of Celtic.
Yeah, but my general feeling is that Celtic are not waiting for the World Cup. The World Cup has come and gone, and Celtic are waiting for the low knees. And the way they run the club is out of date. They have no recruitment department. They have no head of recruitment. Everything is done on the hoof.
They will have a recruitment department, but there's maybe just not that one, you know, sporting director and role, Stevie's, a director of football, that type head of recruitment,
well,
that's an obvious...
They don't have a chairman, they don't have a head of football, they don't have this, they don't have that. Stevie's point about Martin O'Neill working night and day, Martin is trying to cope with many things and he doesn't have the time to devote to that particular job. Sean Maloney, as I understand it now, has no part to play in the recruitment of players. Who does? And for a club of Celtic size, with the finance they have available, and that finance is about to be added to considerably by the sale of Engels and Daizé Maeda, Celtic simply ought to be better than they are at this particular business. They are outdated.
Thank you to Stevie. What about Peter, who's a Celtic fan in Drimmen?
I think that Stevie's the last caller's among the happy clappers. It's difficult to believe that there are still like him around, people like him around, when you look at the devastation that exists at Celtic Park. They don't have any active system of recruitment. We don't know who's looking, who's sourcing players. We don't know who's approaching them. What we do know is that when Celtic approach a club to try and get a player, they're already toxic because of the way that they've behaved in previous years. One manager broke cover last season to actually say Rangers were extremely easy to deal with and good to deal with, and Celtic were the very opposite. Now, Celtic are behaving in a way at the moment that makes me think, I've been watching Celtic for almost all of my 74 years, it makes me think that they're now, Dermot Desmond is now deliberately treating the fans with contempt, because it's difficult to see how you can actually parse what's happening into any kind of logical sense. It doesn't make sense. We saw that it's like Groundhog Day at Celtic Park. We're seeing the same nonsense happening now that we thought couldn't possibly happen again after what happened at the end of a year ago. But, we don't know where it's coming from. It was one player's been brought in, and he looks as if he might be okay. But what are they doing? Ian Acho played them. Ian Acho, it was all about money. And, they worry terribly, as Nicholson admitted.
Do you think he played them, Peter, though? Because Celtic had that option written into his contract last season that they could trigger a one-year extension. So, and Martin O'Neill is quoted as saying that in May, Kelechi Iheanacho was on at him saying, are the club going to keep me on?
With the greatest respect, tonight we've had callers, and Peter has admitted that he's 74. We've had callers who are not members of the Green Brigade, ultras, call them what you will. We have old established Celtic supporters here who can see that their club has now reached a level where they're becoming concerned. When Dermot Desmond came into Celtic in 1994, there was severe concern about the old board, the old ways, and they were outdated. History has a funny way of repeating itself, because Peter and other Celtic supporters on here tonight are now thinking the same as they were in 1994. This club's out of date and not going anywhere, and that they are demanding that there be an overhaul, because the club structure is simply wrong for the 21st century.
Well, thank you to Peter and to all the callers that got in touch tonight. Thank you for getting involved on social media. Of course, thank you to Hugh Keevans for joining me in the studio. We have one more week of these 1 hour shows, and then for the start of the Premiership season, we will be back to the 2 hour format. But make sure to join us next week from 6 until 7, and make sure to stick around. It's a sunny evening across Glasgow, so what else do you want other than the GBX with George Bowie up next?